We spoke about a lot of outbound marketing and everything. Now the internal healthcare marketing. Now, in a competitive dynamic environment, healthcare organizations need to continuously, you know, revolutionize their business practices so as to deliver best results for their patients. Once again, the patients. The healthcare sector is subject to transformation and advancement in order to sustain their business performances. Well-informed, present market trends, formulate new strategies in accordance. While facing the various challenges of marketing, strategy development and the implementation, branding, positioning, assessment of the market, and the ever-changing clinical demands, organizations also have to upload their performance amidst uncertain market behavior. So you have to be ready for anything. Unpredictable, change, adaptation, everything. So what are the internal healthcare marketing objectives? Create your brand ambassadors. Who can it be? Your patients, testimonials. Create a positive attitude and ownership towards organization. It's you. Engage maximum footfall and capture their eyeballs on your brand. Who? Patients. Cross-selling of offer services. Who? You. Word of mouth. Who? You as well as the patient. Engagement in social media, influencers as in you. Utilization of existing workforce and footfalls to increase business. So the entire relationship quotient is moving between you, the market, the organization, and the patient. These are the four core aspects. Because if you build brand ambassadors, they will create positive attitude and ownership towards the organization. If you have a positive attitude, then you have a maximum footfall to capture eyeballs on your brand. If there is maximum footfall, then there is cross-selling. If there is cross-selling and best offer services, you have a word-of-mouth marketing. If there is a word-of-mouth marketing, then there is a huge engagement in the social media. And if there is a huge engagement in social media, then your utilization of existing workforce and footfalls will always increase towards business. No rocket science in it. Simple tactics, but creating those is the challenge. So the steps, I spoke about the objectives, now the steps. Once again, I mean, I have discussed this throughout, but still, vision and mission, existing scenario, segmentation of existing workforce, this communication plan, events, measuring the impact. This is phase one. I have a vision. I understand the current scenario. What is the workforce doing? The communication plan, the internal events, measuring impact and replanning accordingly. Phase one. Phase two, after I measure and replan accordingly, from where? Feedback, patient, relative and visitors. So my feedback is from patient, relative and visitors. Through this, I initiate cross-selling. Through this, I create a social media engagement. Through this, I create a brand called Thanks for Trusting on Us. Through this, I create a patient welfare officers, floor managers from retail. Floor managers are actually a retail thought process. Patient welfare officers is actually called retail managing officers, are from retail. Delight team, in-house referral scheme, data collection. These two are your Bible for the process, phase one and phase two. You know what I'm talking about. Delight, patient-centric, feedback, patient relative and visitors, all these things put together in one simple understanding, create the brand ambassador, create a positive attitude, more business, more profitability, the social health, the future of healthcare marketing. With advertisers preparing to spend up to $15 billion on influencer marketing by 2022. Pharmaceutical and biotech companies are increasingly and carefully engaging trusted health social influencers to connect more authentically and with consumers. I'll not say anything. Two keywords. Carefully engaging. $15 billion US dollars on influencer marketing by 2022. This will increase multifold by the years to come. Pharma is leveraging a multitude of high engagement channels, influencer marketing, online communities, virtual health services, direct to consumer services, peer to peer communication. One of the best of peer to peer communication is, and this was told by one of the marketing guy of a healthcare organization, I'll not take the industry name. Gabriel, the first thing we did as a survey of a marketing with our internal customers, that if tomorrow a relative of yours, first cousin or bloodline has a medical emergency, would you ask them to visit the hospital that you're working on? the results were surprising. I don't want to discuss that. I don't want to create a negative connotation right now. But what I'm saying is, the peer-to-peer communication is another important thing. It creates that value. If I am working in a healthcare organization, and if I don't think they are up to the mark where I can refer my word of mouth to others, then it doesn't make any sense. That means going beyond TV ad, celebrities, or one-off Instagram relationships limited to short-term peer value. No, there is no short-term here. It's all long-term. Yes, the methodology, the control, the mechanisms, the thought process are all short-term, but the actual tendency, the strategy is long-term to create a brand value, to create a brand ambassador. When it comes to motivating customers, action with their health, inspiring people to speak to a doctor, pharma needs to be thinking about new ways. One of them is social health. And what exactly is a social health? It means by which health consumers engage with each other, and their health has broad application for the healthcare industry overall. So two healthcare consumers are engaging a discussion with each other, and by doing that, their broad application is creating a benefit for the healthcare industry overall. When we think of social health, we think of social media, but social health is bigger than that. It's a connection, it's a community, it's a socialization of patients across the entire social sphere, including communities, group messaging. I'll give you a simple example from a word of mouth context. Today, you talk to anyone in a healthcare industry and talk about cancer, they will say Tata Memorial. That's the word of mouth. There are a lot of process challenges. There is a lot of waiting time. There is a lot of everything. But still, for a second opinion, they come to Tata Memorial. That's the fun of social health. It's bigger. It's a community. It's a socialization of the patient. So the second question you ask, okay, did you go there? How was the service? So they will tell you these are the problems, but end of the day, you will come happy if they do a treatment of yours. So everything. Patients rely on social connection and online interaction to discover and validate what they're. According to a research by Vigo Health, 79% of the patients look to connect through various types of social media to find answers to questions about their own personal experiences. And after a doctor visit, 76% use social media to ask other people about their experiences with medication, condition, and diagnosis. Forget healthcare. You have both the aggregator apps, Ola and Uber. Invariably, whenever you book in Ola, it gets cancelled. Or they call and say, we can't go there, we need cash, we can't pay online, so on and so forth. But whenever you book in Uber, it happens. Now imagine you are in a discussion with your friends, a group you know, and you're trying to understand. Invariably, if the question comes with the cab aggregator apps, you'll invariably ask this question that Ola is not that great. Do you find the similar challenges of Ola? Do you find everything with context to Ola? So, you know, that way. It also means for patients to access real-world patient experience. So what actually they went through? What was the after surgery experience? It can be a very important check and balance system. You know, filling in gaps after a TV ad campaign, a sponsored Instagram story, or a physician interaction. Patients trust other patients. Please mark this line. You can write it on a piece of paper for the rest of your career in healthcare industry. Patients always trust other patients. There is a group of patients for a same diagnosis. There is a group of patients from a service perspective. There is a group of patients from behavioral perspective. The Vigo Health survey data shows only 14% of patients surveyed mostly or completely trust lifestyle influences. Only 14%. Versus 51% who mostly or completely trust patient health influences. Remember this line. Patients trust other patients. When it comes to branded pharma products, the survey was even more positive for patient health influencers. 85% of patients say that somewhat or very receptive to an ad from a patient influencer promoting a drug related to a patient's condition. You know, the patient community plays a critical role. So when used consistently and skillfully, social support, adaptive engagement, and active moderation provide a dynamic community experience for individuals with chronic health concerns, ultimately promoting better physical mental health. Health Union has been building open, secure online health communities for people living with chronic conditions for more than a decade. Online health communities are trusted by sources, by patients, because of the information and the connection, as well as the support they need to take ownership of their health. Imagine the connection they have. I'll go back. Patients trust other patients. Patient communities play a pivotal role in multiple channels, building authentic relationship. Advertisers can reach their audiences at a key teachable moment in trustworthy online health communities, and also they can connect with the patient health influencers. See, patient trusts other patients. Most power of the social health into practice is online health communities, patient influencers, working together, serving for a critical information, and every step of the patient journey. For pharmaceutical and healthcare marketers, patient communities, their leaders, influencers, strategic opportunity, a full funnel marketing approach, authenticity, transparency at the forefront. Patients support other patients. So we come to an essence of almost coming to an end, and we're coming to that segment where the promise of the digital health is getting passed in that aspect, although there are some left. You know, past several decades, the development of and the accelerated advancement of digital technology has prompted change across virtually all aspects of human endeavor. Positive and negative effects of these changes have been and will remain the focus of active speculation, including the implications of human health. You know, the digital supremacy in these days is changing everything. Mechanical, digital, capture of physical status, experiences, narratives have set. And the website actually creates a pattern. If you go to YouTube and start searching on a specific item, you will see after some point of time, it will give you the same item. I was doing a research on some medical management profile for understanding a disease when my mother was detected with multiple myeloma. After 5 minutes or even a day, my YouTube started showing me most of the videos as multiple myeloma. Imagine the digital health. You know, it has set the stage for revolutionary progress in individual health and medical management, population-wide health strategies, and integrated real-time generation of new knowledge and insights. Together, this developmenting of digital or digitally medicated capacities are termed as digital health. It has evolved as a broad term encompassing electronically captured data, a technical or communication infrastructure, application of healthcare ecosystem. Revolutionary advances have happened in digital health are transforming health, medicine, and biomedical science, redefining and re-engineering the entire ecosystem. For what? To creating a healthier future. The development such as the cloud computing, artificial intelligence, machine learning, blockchain, digital mediated diagnostics, treatment, tele, health, consumer-facing mobile health applications are now routinely used in self-management, healthcare, and biomedical devices. One example, have you seen a mobile blood test van? I have seen in Bombay. So if you have been told that you have to, you know, do a blood test and it is your choice. So one of my friend was looking in a Practo or in some of the other app, which I cannot recall right now. He went on that app and he registered and he said that I need to do a blood test for my father and mother because they are senior citizens and I need it urgently because they're facing issues a lot. Only that was written. He got a call within an hour from that aggregator app stating that, you know what, we have a mobile blood test van roaming around there. It might not reach you within the stipulated time, but if there is a delay, would you like to take the appointment? He said, yes, I am willing to delay because I am at home today, taken off for all these reasons. Then the aggregator app could have dropped it, but suddenly he said, okay, why don't you hold on for a second and let me call the mobile van to check whether there is a possibility of a less turnaround time. He called, he did a conference call and ensured that in the next 2 hours, the blood is taken as a sample and the reports to be delivered the next day morning. the aggregator app would have just given the number and said done. That's how digital health is moving. Consumer facing mobile health applications are routinely used in self-management, healthcare and biomedical science. Imagine if tomorrow a bypass surgery from a digital health perspective is happening on a mobile van. I do not know. I'm speculating, but anything is possible. Way things are changing. Maybe my father doesn't have the capability to go to the hospital. The doctor might come to you. In the older days, we used to have this as a service, as a doctor call. I've not seen that in today's scenario. Maybe it is going to happen soon. These developments are critical. They promise to drive earlier diagnosis and interventions. Again, prevention is better than cure. Improve the outcome, support the system. You know, I want to highlight this, the pointer, very well. In the mid-20th century, the newly established World Health Organization defined the concept of health as a state, and I quote, as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. A state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. 2006. I'll repeat that line again. A state of complete mental, physical, and social well-being. And it is not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Imagine what will happen in the next 10 years. It's an integrative concept. It's a vision for the planet that is once bold and elusive. Even the United States, as the world's wealthiest nation, the WHO defines it clear how the health derives from much more than a medical care these days. Since WHO is funding, WHO in the sense WHO, much has been learned about how different factors, including but extending far beyond medical care, interact to shape health prospects, digital health. They're coining a new term. The promise, indeed, researchers indicate that social and behavioral factors both outweigh medical care in determining the health status and modulate the contribution of genetics and physical environment. I would like to add here as a quote I heard saying by a doctor, most of the diseases are physical. The effect of those diseases are mental, which is 90%. What it means is, the patient that goes through the series of medication, goes through the series of torment, goes through the series of what will happen to me is more important today than what the disease is. Even it is cancer. And trust me on this, I have faced this first and for my aunt in Tata Memorial. The first question that my aunt asked, so the doctor said, who is the patient? So we said, she is the patient. So the first thing the doctor asked my aunt, what are you thinking right now? My aunt said, will I survive? The doctor said, those days are gone when cancer means you will die. We are diagnosing you. Please have stability. You see these two people with you. They are there to fight your mental thought process. So don't worry from that point of view. You come to the best place. We will do a lot of tests. This person, I have spoken to him personally. He has taken a lot of care. So what the doctor is doing? He is trying to create the mentality and the behavioral factors rather than the medical condition. Okay, cancer, yes, it's a serious disease, but there is way to fight it. How many numbers we have seen today have fought cancer and come back? N number of examples are there. Today, where the biggest miracle, I do not know, I'll put it as miracle or I'll put it as Stephen Hawking. When the disease attacked him, he fell down. Doctors said he would not live for more than 5 years. He survived for 50 years and gave us one of the two best moments in scientific clarification, the theory of time and the black hole theory. Because it's mental. That's why digital health, and it outweighs the medical care. Today, nobody cares. They know if I'm going to the best hospital, I know I will be cured by the end of the day. But nobody thinks about the mental condition. That's why these things are coming into the fore. The digital technology has been developing and applying every sense of health and healthcare. There is a potential in healthcare delivery, advancing diagnosis and treatment in cancer, in chronic orthopedic cases, ensuring care continuity, facilitation, offsite patient. What is offsite? The patient care has been done. The patient is going back to their houses. How? Through telemedicine. Partnering with individuals to support self-management. Reducing error and waste in the delivery system. This is a figure of the digital health tools. I have told it numerous times. Diagnostic, imaging, pharmaceuticals, implantable devices, surgical, personalized therapies, geospatial environment, health, knowledge, personal, telemedicine, all are there. You can go ahead and read it because I've described each health applications to you. And each health applications has their own way of doing it. Overall, patient. Now, the advanced diagnosis and treatment. Now, why, I mean, AI, okay. I think there is a HSR robotic unit who has created a robot. And it's a AI based who can work to give medicines to a chronic care patients who cannot take medicines by their own hand. AI is used in radiology and pathology to augment human interpretation of diagnostics. It can be a ocular, it can be an X-ray, a magnetic resonance image, MRI, pathology slide images, supporting potential, more accurate and timely diagnosis and individual treatment, various cancer and renal diseases. That's the advancement. The treatment decisions can be augmented by clinical decision support systems and enriched with advanced analytics. Again AI, integrated with care delivery workflow, technologies, AI-powered CDS systems, opportunities, improving efficiencies, mitigating clinician burnout, potential downfall benefits. So, I mean, it's huge. The huge potential, huge market. Who will market this? You. Again, care continuity. The broad interoperability of healthcare data, platform, many settings, incomplete record availability, lack of terminology standard, concern about bidirectional incorporate of data between health systems using different EHRs. So what is this? Most sophisticated digital diagnostics will have little impact on clinical outcomes if they are implemented in a fragmented healthcare ecosystem. The power of EHR systems to capture and organize clinical data allows for rapid cycle learning and organizational agility. Both barriers, technical and economic, they transmit non-native data into the EHR limit. Why? Because the comprehensive view of those individuals and the populations need to transform healthcare delivery and the healthcare system at large. Who's going to work on this? You. Facilitating, I spoke about offsite patient management through telemedicine, digital tools collecting data, consumer-facing apps are being created. During the COVID-19 pandemic, now listen to this, a digital contact tracing apps provided patients with notification about potential exposure to COVID-19. I forgot the name of this app. It was made by app creator in India. I forgot the name. Please mark my pardon my innocence in that. That app gave us a beautiful idea. If I click on that app and if I click COVID cases in 1 kilometer radius, in 2 kilometer radius, in 5 kilometer radius, it that app gave me everything. If I have fever for the 7 days without decreasing, what do I need to do? Even it is there. So see, that is facilitating an offsite patient management system through telemedicine, through an app. Consumer facing apps and clinician monitors that can actively or passively collect data can also serve as a early warning system for prevention and disease management. Imagine who will do this, who will work in the data? You. Beyond COVID-19, some tools generate warnings to individual or caregivers regarding changes in the environmental risk, pollen or air population alerts, other platforms, patients, families, providers, everything in the work of disease. Imagine the opportunities lies in front of you. Which market is going to do? You. Once again, a COVID pandemic system, RPM enables, remote patient monitoring, happened during COVID with that app. Bluetooth skills were there. I have also seen, because one of my company colleague contacted COVID and I could not go there. So we did a video conferencing call in a WhatsApp group with a doctor. And the doctor actually narrated the entire incident. Ki, okay, these are the symptoms. I don't think it's COVID, but do a blood test, do a snub test, do a nasal test so that we can find it in a better way. So who is doing it? Who is creating this? That's what I'm saying. COVID-19 is a pandemic for all of us. But it has created a huge opportunity for healthcare professionals or healthcare marketers. Once again, who will do it? It's you. I can go on. Digital tools, acute care system, COVID-19, 2020 analysis found out that virtual urgent care visit could reduce the need of emergency room care by approximately 20%. Working on it. 20% of all office care, outpatient and home health services could deliver virtually or near virtually. See, everything is going virtually, digitally. They're going to decrease the use of emergency room care by approximately 20% just because there is a marketing created through a visual, virtual, urgent care. If there is a need, if it can be treated, awareness. Virtual intensive care units can deliver remote 24/7 monitoring of patients by intensivists who can manage the patients in multiple locations. I mean, I seriously now getting into that phase of the presentation where I feel it's huge. You know, partnering with individuals to support self-management. You know, most chronic disease management requires self-management, whether it's hypertension, diabetic, cardiovascular problem. So the patient has to go through a rigorous self-management system. What if we have an app for it? What if we have a, you know, partnering with individuals who's nearby, okay, who are physically and mentally is essential in achieving better health outcomes, improving quality of life, reducing healthcare spending by what? Using an app, voice. However, with all these things, meeting individuals on their own terms may present multiple challenges to both individuals, you and the delivery system, which is the healthcare organizations. Basic knowledge gaps about anatomy and physiology are worsened by issues of language fluency, health and reading literacy, numeracy, conflicting cultural beliefs and limitations in cognitive capacity. You know, this is the most key point out here. Literacy, numeracy and conflicting cultural beliefs and limitations in cognitive capacity. These same challenges may be further exacerbated by poor medication tolerance or complex clinical care plans, including polytherapy and polypharmacy. See, leading to opportunities. Access issues, including distance from the delivery system for rural residents, lack of transportation, supply chain management issue, difficulty in taking time away from work. Because I have a, I'm a doctor and I work 24/7, I cannot take care of anything. If there is something, an effect attendance of that visit, that can be done. Financial barriers force individuals to choose different needed healthcare and medication and other household expenses can result in not taking medicines as prescribed, including pill splitting and dose skipping. It happens. It's very costly. Whatever will happen. Go back to your mom and dad, and specifically go back to your mother and ask, when did you last take a medicine? What if I have a support self-management which gives me an alarm that, you know, you can take this or this is the way. Marketing, voice, be bold. The digital innovation and the health population is getting important. And again, it is because of the COVID-19 and the disproportionate impacts on communities of color and other economic disadvantage and under-resourced populations. So the digital tool is helping to integrate that critical social services into the care delivery. And because of COVID, it became much more. The hospitals, I still remember a statement by then Chief Minister of Maharashtra, Uddhav Thackeray, that once the COVID cases plunged down, after 6 months, probably this is 2021 Diwali, it started to come back again. You know, he made a statement in Twitter that don't worry, our hospitals are ready with oxygens and beds are ready. If you face any, this is the helpline number, please call. See? Digital. Innovations in digital health hold the potential to identify and address the barriers, It can be equitably deployed, it can be effectively used, it can have digital health tools, potential to improve identification, measurement and modification of the root sources of illness, health and well-being. I can go on. Sophisticated, capable of capturing social behavior, you know, including individual preferences, values and interactions and exposures, deliver targeted preventive and acute care system, again digital. See, the digital enabled health ecosystem has the potential to create long-term partnership, undoubtedly. Such a system in health information flows freely within a trusted enabled source and a robust security platform and a privacy framework. Care industry and non-traditional commercial entrants in the market. Similarly, it is also thoughtfully designed, you know, way to do it. It has a good ecosystem, has the potential to create something bigger, and most importantly, the care teams that support healthy behaviors. With that note, I say a thank you to all of you for being patient and listening to me. Remember one thing, as healthcare marketeers, you have to think from a patient standpoint. You have to design a marketing plan from a patient standpoint. You have to think the organizational goals from a patient standpoint, which will enable you to become the voice of the marketplace. You have to own that role. You have to take accountability and be bold. Great ideas. Thank you. Wish you all the best.